All right. Are you glad it's not snowing?
Yes.
It's going to snow. I know. Miss Arp wants it to snow. She's a great snow bunny. All right. Praise the Lord for that. Well, I've had a pretty good day. How about you? Yeah? You know what we were doing 1 year ago? According to my records, we were launching out with a great campaign, and we brought a guy here who was a volleyball player. You remember him?
Yes.
Yeah. And Pastor Josh, you missed him the first time, but you did miss him the second time. And so we really had a great time there. But praise the Lord for his, Pastor Josh's, message this morning. We appreciate that very, very much. And I don't know, God's kind of put together something that, and when we were up at the men's retreat, and Pastor Long said, "Please turn to the book of Joshua." I said, "Oh no." But I'm going to follow up what he preached out up at the men's retreat for us there in another passage similar to that. And it's a message that is of strength, of uplift, and it's kind of a follow-up on what Pastor Josh was preaching on this morning, encouragement. We get ready for things in our lives and things happen. And title of my message tonight is, I don't know why I named it this. It's Sink, Swim, or Walk. Now, you might get that when we get through it. I don't know. But this is a message of really encouragement. And I think of a man in the Old Testament, and I've preached this before, I think, who was a great man of courage. And we're going to bring up a picture of him right now, and you'll recognize him as soon as we get it up here. There he is. Anybody know who he is? He's the military general of the Old Testament known as? No. You're close. Joshua. Yes, there he is. This is Joshua. All right. What did Joshua do? He conquered the land. And so the key word that goes with the book of Joshua is conquers. We live in a land and in a world that we're just being in, just absolutely going through lots of things in the Christian life. But this book of Joshua deals with how to conquer the land. Now we think of Joshua as, you know, conquering the land, but the land really is our life, is really our life. General Joshua leads the nation of Israel in the conquest of the land of Canaan. We know that the book that bears his name, Title of War and Peace, I'm getting this from back through the, or walk through the Bible that I have here, and I'm going to bring up some little one liners here that go with that. Of course, you understand what happened there. Rather than a military might and numerical superiority, in the final 12 chapters, peace reigns in the people of God. Please take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. This man, Joshua, is built upon one verse, really. And it's a key verse that goes with the Joshua, and it's Joshua 1:9 if you want to look at it. And this is not what I'm preaching on tonight, but it's built upon six words. Be strong and of a good courage. Right? Six words. Be strong and of a good courage. There are many verses in the Bible that deal with that, but this man, Joshua, brought that to the children of Israel at a time when they desperately needed it. Moses had been forbidden to go into what was known as the Promised Land. You understand that they had been wandering for some 38 years out there in the middle of the desert and wondering how in the world they are ever going to get into a land that God had promised to Abraham, had promised to all of the forefathers and to Moses and said, this is the land, let's go get it, all right? But he was really talking about more than the land, he was talking about their life. Because these children of Israel certainly had been in Egypt, and they had been there for some years, and they had been released miraculously to go out, and yet something conquered them. And that's the big word that conquers you and I in our Christian walk, and it's the word fear. They were as well fearful that God had done something wrong. Can you imagine that? After God brought them through, was God going to do something wrong? Was he going to go do something? And they mistrusted it. And, of course, God allowed them to walk for some 38 years. And finally it came to the pack. Jehovah saves. Joshua 1 and verses 1 through 9. They preempt to the conquest of the land. If something is not worth working or fighting for, then it's really not worth anything at all. Think about that. Is that true? If something is not really working for or fighting for. Here our man Joshua. Now look at him. All right, here he is. Let me give you one-liners here. Key word to the visual reminds us of the Ed Sullivan show. You know, a really big shoe. Some of you will get that. All right. He's the original Bigfoot. Do you know how the people of Jericho felt after Joshua came through? Now think about it. The people of Jericho, how did they feel after Joshua got done with them?
Down.
What?
Down?
No, nope, they were crushed. They were crushed. Okay. Joshua conquered all the peoples of Israel. The Canaanites, the Amalekites, the mosquito bites, the electric lights, the stalactites, the balatites. Hey, no, I'm not joshing about those ones. Those are crazy. All right. All right, enough for Joshua visual there. You can get rid of that, Ray. Thank you for that. And we'll jump into our message here tonight. This man, Joshua, when you work for a goal or strive for victory in life, is in anything, give everything you have. The victory is sweeter if we give everything for that. It's kind of like getting ready for that big, big game that's coming. What is it? Right, Peg? All right, the Super Bowl. And getting ready to conquer the foe that's out there. Well, if you look at that, for the children of Israel were about to embark upon a journey that they would finally bring them to the land. For 38 years, they'd been wandering, as I said that before, and they were going about, and yet Moses, their leader, had certainly disobeyed. God had a plan, certainly, to purify his people. When you and I go through struggles in our lives, when you and I are going through the Christian life, no matter what it is, what we're up against, what we're going against, God is in charge of that to bring glory to himself through us, if you're a Christian, and to purify us, to make us even greater. We've been studying about this in our Sunday school class, about that big, big, big pattern of what is called sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ. And what's he doing in your life? What's he going to do in your life this year to make you more like Christ? How is he going to change you in a greater fashion? That was something that the people of Israel didn't understand as they were getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. They didn't understand that God really wanted to do a change in their life, in their hearts. They really expected that God wanted them to conquer, yes, the land that was there, but there was something bigger there than just all of those peoples that were there. It was bigger than life, because God was going to teach them that faith is the victory. That's really what it's about. Faith is the victory. You see, people need a leader who will get God's direction and shout and encourage and set the example. And the man that was chosen for the job was Joshua. God was not done at all with that. But God was doing a great work of really setting these people apart. And that's really what God's doing in your life, in my life, to set us apart, to sanctify us. The final test is going to be another water test. And that's why I named this Sink, Swim, or Walk. It's a water test. When you get through the water, when you get to the water, something's going to have to take place. Well, here we are in the midst of this, and we come to chapter 3. One of the most exciting chapters. I've preached this before, but every time I read about this is tremendous. Joshua chapter 3, the verse that we jump off of is Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Look at it. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Grow in the Lord. Do something. Become more and more like Christ, because God is going to do something, and this is going to be, and in this particular verse, it was going to be on the morrow. So they were getting ready for something that was monumental was going to get. I can imagine the people of Israel, when they found out about this, and they saw the Jordan River in front of them, and they found out, and they probably said, are you kidding? This water again? Are you kidding? We're going to have to face this again? Well, they did. And God was going to do something even greater and victorious than that. Up and sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for gathering us here tonight. Lord, we need your help. We need your encouragement in our lives and strength to be able to go forward. I thank you for this word here tonight. We pray for our dear pastor as he travels. We pray, dear Lord, for the needs of our congregation here and folks that are away and folks that are going through difficult struggles in their lives. And us here tonight, we certainly need your help. And I pray, dear Lord, the Spirit of God, you take the Word of God, apply it to our hearts as needed, that Christ will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe the converse of this particular passage is found, and many commentators will say this. Take your Bible and flip to the New Testament book of Ephesians. I think Pastor Joshua even made reference to this morning. I'm not sure, but I think you did. Ephesians chapter 3. I think the flip side of this, and many commentators look at these verses as this is what Joshua is based upon, and this is the New Testament Joshua, verse 20 and 21. Two great verses. Now unto him who is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, all ages. Well, amen, he says there. What's that? God is able to do, and if you'll notice, Joshua said to them in verse 5, he said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, for God is going to do greater things. The Bible declares this, and this is where the walk comes in. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Right? But we're visual learners. I put something up on the board here. We're visual learners. We got to see something. So how can our faith become sight? What's God going to do here? Well, that's exactly what this is. Certainly, this particular passage is all about. They were going to see something. Our Christian experience is really in three steps. In three steps. It's a step of preparation. It's a step of proclamation. And that's a step of performance. That really doesn't go together, but it's a step of doing. All right? It's a step of preparation. God is in the preparation stages to get us ready to move out and to actually to do something. Here it is that Joshua was going to go take them through these steps as in the Christian walk. That's really what it's about. So let's look at it. The preparation. How does he prepare the children of Israel? And this is interesting that God does this. This goes on to verse number 8. I originally thought it was verse 6, but I'm going to go on to verse 8. Let's read. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. Now, the children of Israel didn't know this, but they were there. All right? They lodged there. So what did they do? And it says, this is interesting, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. That 3 day always comes up in the Bible. It's definitely a reference to the gospel after 3 days. But notice what happens. And they commanded, and they commanded. So they're commanding the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. And there shall be, now this is very important, there shall be a space between you and it, and about 1,000 cubits by measure. Come not nigh unto it, that you may know the way by which ye go, for ye have not passed this way before. You've not gone on this path before. You and I have not gone on these paths before. All right? And Joshua said, and we said that verse, up, sanctify yourselves. And Joshua, verse 6, spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, this is all the preparation. He said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all the people, that they may know that as I was with Moses, what great comfort, I will be with you. Joshua probably thought at that point, I'm not sure, verse 8, and thou shalt command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, that you come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Here it is. This is the setup, but this is really the preparation work. They had been wandering, and now they were camped for 3 days. The site of Jericho, the site of the cities, the site of Gilgal, the site of all of that was before them. They were able to see that what was going to take place. When you're preparing to do something in your life, you make plans. Isn't that right? I hope you do. I do. I try to do that on a daily basis. I try to put down what I'm going to try to accomplish. The older you get, I think it is that you have to write it down. The younger you are, you can text it to yourself. I don't know. I don't know how it goes, but anyways, it seems that you've got to write it down, and I do. I like to write down what it is I'd like to get accomplished, and my wife says at the end of the day, did you get it done? I said, yes, and I come in, and I mark off those things that I tried to get. So preparation work has got, you've got to plan, All right, to do, and this is exactly what was taking place. So the preparation work for victory, for joy, for sanctification, for all of that in your life is that what you're going through right now. We're going through that, and God is doing that. All right, Gibeon, all the cities that they conquered. Now you read through the book of Joshua, and you'll see all of these particular steps. The first step was preparation. I believe there are far too many people, all right, in God's army who are allowing something to conquer them, which is called fear and not faith. Far too many people are afraid of that before they really get into, so to speak, the water. All right? It's like getting ready to play a game. They need to be a people who are watching the leadership. The Jordan River was high. It was over its banks. And no way, but with God, all things are possible. Right? All things are possible. He is the God of the impossible. Remember what he said to them. Joshua 1:9. And we looked at that. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Have not I commanded thee, be strong. And he repeats that several times in Joshua 1. And we looked at it several times if you look at it. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's not a place that you'll go. And so he's saying here, how do you get through the water? Well, how do you get in? How do you learn to swim? Get in the water, right? You got to get in the water. Far too many people don't even get near the water when I'm talking about. Far too many people have never stepped the toe into it and never jumped in all feet and said, oh, I can't do it. Now, this crowd out here is not a crowd that haven't stepped into the water. You've stepped in. I look at our folks that work with the peewees and work with children and all the things that you've stepped into the water. And that's why you're here tonight, because you need to continually walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what this is all about. But how have you? Well, all right, far too many people haven't done that. The best hunters, guess what, are the ones that go out in the woods. You've heard the little joke about the guy. The young guy goes into the hunting camp, and the older gentlemen are sitting around, and they're saying, oh, he's never going to see anything and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, you're not going to get anything at all. And so, and so on and so forth. And yeah, and they're all sitting in there playing cards and all that sort of stuff. And he goes out and brings one in. And they're amazed. And he said, man, the woods are full of them. Go out and get them. We need to step out by faith. And that's exactly what Joshua was teaching the people there of Israel. So the preparation work. Now it's interesting, if there's a couple of things that goes into the preparation. There was a space, verse number 4 talks about that. There shall be a space between you and it, 1,000 cubits. So you can imagine this. There was a good distance between them and the water. They were following, all right? Joshua had told them, so there was something, there was quite a lot of preparation work that had gone into this. All of this is a picture of the Christian life and a Christian life of walking by faith, but certainly not by sight. But again, wait a minute. This was sight. They were seeing that. What was God doing? Well, he's helping them to visualize, once again, a walk by faith, by doing something exactly what Pastor Josh was preaching about this morning, if you remember that. There was Mary, and there was Martha. And Jesus said, all right, go to the stone. Roll it away. And they had to do it. He could have very easily, if you didn't get that point, he could have very easily done that, but he didn't. So what were they doing? They were walking by faith, and that was being sight. They were doing it. They were doing it. Step number two. It's now moves from preparation to something that I call preaching, all right? Or proclamation. Now notice what happens here. Now all of this up in this point, Joshua had not told the people what was going to take place. All right? They're all going through this and they're all getting ready for this. And now he's going to tell them. This is exciting. I can imagine. God has already said this to Joshua. All right? This is what's going to happen. All right? And the people, you know, and I can imagine. It's just like a preacher, like Pastor Josh or Pastor Long. You know, they work all week long and they have a message. And it's bottled up inside of them. Man, you got to get it out. All right. So he's getting ready to get that message out. So it moves to the preaching. All right. And verse number 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Folks, that's why you're here tonight. That's why you open your Bibles every day. That's why you go to Bible school. That's why you go through that preparation. You're doing exactly that. Joshua said, come here. He said, listen. All right? You've got to hear. And Joshua said in verse number 10, and Joshua again said, hereby ye know that the living God is among you, and that he without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites, Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. I got them all in there. All right. What's he saying? Notice his message of exhortation is the same message that Jesus gives, is the same message that Isaiah gives. It is, fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's what Joshua said. That's what he's saying. And he's stating it one more time. And he says to Joshua, and here Joshua is repeating that. And that's really what God has brought through the pulpit, through the preaching of the word, to you and I each week to hear, fear thou not, I am with thee. God's going to go before you. God has a plan. He's going to work it out in a greater fashion. This is what is called exhortation. This is exactly what God said in the book of Ephesians, that God gifted and gave to the church pastors and teachers who would be able to exhort us to live by faith and not by sight. To do that, that's what it's all about. So here's what Joshua is saying, and let's look a little bit further here. He says, no, hereby ye shall know the living God among you. He will not what? Fail to drive out from before you. Verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and all the earth pass before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of 12 tribes of Israel, and every man a tribe, and it shall come to pass. I like this. I want you to make the connection here. All the way through the Bible is this. All right? Number one, verse 13, it says, it shall come to pass. Now watch. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord, all right, of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from above the waters from above, and they shall stand in one heap. Verse 14. Isn't this neat? And it, what? Came to pass. Isn't that neat? All the time through the Bible, it says, and it shall, and it came to pass. Very, very exciting. in this particular passage. And it came to pass when the people removed from the tents the Passover of the Jordan and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they bore the Ark were come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark were dipped into the... This is the exciting portion of this. So the exhortation goes up to verse number 13. He says there, and it shall come to pass. Hasn't Pastor Long stood in this place and said, it will take place? Hasn't he preached that? How many messages, have you ever thought about this? How many messages have you heard from other preachers or in this church over the course of your life? How many thousand? I don't know. When I was in Bible school, I started taking notes, and I still do that. And I have note cards of every message, as much as I can remember, of every message that I've heard all the way through. I don't know why I do it, but I just do it. I just keep it, and I keep it. And my desk is getting full, all right? And every once in a while, I remember that, and I'll look for it, and I'll look for it. Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. So it's good to take notes. I've got stuff written down in my Bible and stuff like that. So it's good to do that. So this exhortation, when Pastor Long stood before us several years ago and said, let's go, God's given us this city, we need to get moving, he meant it. He had a vision, and I don't think he's lost that vision. He actually said, are you with me? Verse 11 in the Bible here says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes before us. The passion that Joshua had that day, as he said, and it shall come to pass. Did he know how it was going to take place? Absolutely not. He absolutely did not know how it was going to take place. And yet God did a great work that day. So we move from step number two, the preaching, preceded by the preparation work, all right, getting ready for it. Joshua nails it down a little bit more and emphasizes it once more. And then he tells the people what's going to take place. These things are take place. Isn't that recorded for us in the Bible? Thus saith the Lord, if you do so and so, and if you do this and this, will come to pass. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All right? Walk by faith and not by sight. Over time after time, God's word encourages us and tells us these things to do. And then we hear the great words of comfort. He says, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you, Joshua. He said, I'll never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. It is God that works in you who will do his great purpose. The New Testament, I'm quoting a couple of verses there. He says through Joshua, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Exactly what Isaiah would tell in Isaiah 41:10. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And he uses that same word, dismayed, that Joshua would say in Joshua 1:9. So God will not fail us. But once the preparation work is done, and once the preaching comes, guess what we need to do? Walk by faith. And that's where the performance comes. That's where the actual working out of your salvation comes. And that is step 3, verses 14 down through 17. Now, here's the exciting part. I just couldn't wait to get here, but this is the exciting part. And it came to pass. I said that before to you. All right, and verse 15. And they who bore the ark were come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark were dipped into the brink of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all the banks of all the time of harvest. And the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in one heap very far from the city of Adam, and beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of Arabeth. Now, why in the world did God write all of that in there? All of that. He gave us exactly a picture of what was going to take place, all right? And passed right over the Jordan and the salt sea, all right? And they were cut off. And the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry land in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites turned around and ran. No, it says that they passed over on dry ground until the people were passed completely over Jordan. It's over with. We're gone over and we've got the land and there isn't another thing to do. Right? We won. The victory is ours. We're through. Now, you read the rest of the book of Joshua and you'll see all the battles that took place. You'll see all of those things. Now, why? Why did God continue to? Well, he's continuing to build their faith, to continue to do that. And that's what he's doing in your lives. That's what he's doing in my life. He continues to do that. All right, step number 3 is actually doing it. God says, no, these are statements that you know. He says, where the rubber meets the road, right? The proof is in the pudding, all right? The actual taking of the preparation by the preaching to act is the performance, is actually the proof of it, is actually doing it. What good is all the work if you don't step out and do it? There's our big word, do it. Do you know that swish, Nike swish? That's what it means, do it, all right? Just do it, all right? The Bible says in the book of James, and you know the verse, all right, chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And not hearers only. So my favorite part here is that God certainly does it, but they are in the act of experiencing how God did it that time. Now this is interesting because I looked this up. How did God do it? Well, this is taken from a commentary. The crossing is made. The mighty miracle of the parting of the waters was wrought by the living God in verse 10. That is, deity is manifested in omnipotence. That is true whether or not the Creator employed an earthquake or at Adam, a town 8 miles north of Succoth. Overlooking Jordan, specialists have maintained that a dozen miles between Adamoth and Zarephath comprise the only stretch in the Jordan Valley where such a damming up could, or going over the dry land could have taken place. Parallels to such a temporary blocking in the Jordan have been adduced. In AD 1266, near Tell if demon, in that vicinity, the bed of the Jordan River was left dry for 10 hours as a result of a landslide. In 1927, an earthquake near Adam, the same place, stopped the Jordan flow for 20 hours. So I don't know how God did it, but he did. And they walked through on dry land. And they were about to embark upon a Christian walk of their life, and we do that. divine intervention up the river 8 miles could have. And just as Moses at the Red Sea and part of the Red Sea, he could have just, that's it. It doesn't say that Joshua stood there and held the waters or anything like that. He didn't do that. All right. It said that the waters there on one heap stood up. It's interesting. And it's interesting that he makes notice in the Bible there of these. So the people pass over. Our church, Tabernacle, has a vision. We've got a youth pastor here. He's got a vision to bring in young people, to build this church, and I believe it's to build it from the bottom up. And I believe that God's doing a great work here in a greater fashion to allow this church to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. That day, God wrought a great victory, obviously. And the people were going to walk by faith. And they were going to continue on. But there was going to be other battles. There was going to be other things. So God was doing a great work. And I trust that he's doing that same work in your life. They had wandered through and in Kadesh Barnea 38 years. And yet they went through the steps. They prepared. God prepared them. God's doing that preparation work in your life through the preaching, and yet we need to do it. Now listen, Jericho and Ai and Gilgal, they all lay ahead. But that day, Israel learned how to swim by not sinking, but by walking. Walking by faith, Joshua 1:9. I trust that that can encourage you as you look at that. I always enjoy that particular passage, the book of Joshua, by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the word of God. Help us, dear Lord, in these days ahead with us, the things that we do week in and week out, all the things in our lives. We know that those areas of preparation and the performance of that, of our walk by faith, will certainly be backed up by the preaching of God's word as we have heard here even tonight, that Christ might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 83.